Nineveh's shameful end. Woe to the bloody city! It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Nahum 3, verses 1 through 4. Nineveh, the capital of the empire, and hence as representing it, is here addressed. Because of her religious pretensions, God arraigns her king, saying, "Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. The valiant ones shall dwell in the dust." Nahum 3:18. Years after, Babylon was also addressed in a similar manner, for Assyria became a part of the Babylonian Empire. Chapter 3 describes the full and final overthrow of Nineveh and the subjugation of the Assyrian Empire and the shame thereof before the other nations. Nineveh, meaning offspring of ease, dwelt carelessly, acting out the meaning of her name, and said in her heart, "I am, and there is none beside me," Zephaniah 2:15, as if Jehovah could not destroy her. Hence he exclaims to her, "Art thou better than populous No, or Noamon, that was situate among the rivers, that had the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea, and her wall was from the sea?" Zephaniah 3:8. Yet she, Noamon, was carried away. She went into captivity. Nahum 3:9-10. Doubtless, reference is made here to the important defeat of the Ethiopians over 200 years before, 2 Chronicles 14:9-15 and 2 Chronicles 16:8-9. For Noamon was a large city on both sides of the Nile River in Egypt. God challenges Nineveh to strengthen herself to the uttermost, yet she should be destroyed without remedy. "Draw thee waters for the siege, fortify thy strongholds, go into clay and tread the mortar, make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee, the sword shall cut thee off, it shall eat thee up like the canker worm. Make thyself many as the canker worm, make thyself many as the locust." Nahum 3, verses 14 and 15. Type of the harlot. Why is so much said in God's word about that antiquated city? God has not recorded past events because he is interested in history. Never. Here is the answer. They happened unto them for types and were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have arrived. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, Revised Version. Therefore we find the antitype of Nineveh in the great whore of Revelation chapters 17 and 18. Papal Rome makes the same blasphemous boasts which that ancient city made. She terms herself the Mother Church, and her headquarters the Eternal City. She hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, for she saith in her heart, "I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow." Revelation 18, verse 7. Observe that what is said of Nineveh and Assyria in Nahum 3 and Zephaniah 2, verses 12 through 15, is also said of Babylon in Isaiah 47, verses 7 through 9, and in Revelation chapter 18. "All the fowls of heaven made their nests in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations." Ezekiel 17:23 and 31, verse 6. This is written of the Assyrians, from which there is an amazing prophetic leap to one of our Lord's seven parables, which set forth the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 13:11. For therein he declares that the kingdom of God mysteriously is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth, but when it is sown it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Luke 13, verses 30 through 32. The real people of God have been always a small company comparatively, as an herb rather than a great tree, but professed Christendom, of which the Roman Church is the first and chief factor, has grown to be a gigantic tree. The Holy Spirit declares that Rome has become the habitation of demons and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18:2. Paul writes of these demons and foul spirits in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and bidding to abstain from meats, which he terms profane and old wives' fables in 1 Timothy 4, 7. Bear in mind that Catholicism claims to be that great mustard tree, or the true church today, of whom the other denominations are the daughters. And she is the woman who took the leaven, corrupt doctrine, and hid it in three measures of meal, all the counsel of the triune God, till the whole was leavened, Matthew 13:33. Indeed, Rome has proven herself to be the mistress of witchcrafts, for by her sorceries were all nations deceived, Revelation 18:23 with Nahum 3, verse 3. The bewitching power of her religion of works is unspeakable. Paul cried out to the Galatians, saying, "Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth?" Galatians 3:1. John proclaims as a last day warning that all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, Revelation 14, verse 8. Yes, she boasts in her nationwide missionary operations, but God says her works are sorcery, fornication, sins, and iniquities, Revelation 18, verse 3, 5, and 23. He pronounces her the great harlot with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, Revelation 18:9. That is, they have accepted the legalism of Catholicism, which in some countries has become the state religion rather than the salvation of Jesus Christ through grace. Yet, meanwhile, she loudly professes to be the only true church of Christ, and doubtless Rome is the chief advisor in forming the League of Nations. Nahum said, "Nineveh is of old like a pool of water," Nahum 2, verse 8, inviting all nations to drink from her bosom, but at a great cost. But Jehovah denominates her a pool furnishing only stagnant drink, sickly, slimy, poisonous, and destructive, exactly what Rome has given to the world. The doom in one day. Notwithstanding all the wealth of the wicked city and all her boasted strength and glory, at the very pinnacle of her fame and prowess, Jehovah exclaims, "There shall the fire devour thee, the sword shall cut thee off, it shall eat thee up like the canker worm. Make thyself many as the canker worm, make thyself many as the locusts," Nahum 3, verse 15. "There is no healing of thy bruise, thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit or report of thee shall clap the hands over thee, for upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually?" Nahum 3, verse 19. Likewise, Rome, the mother of harlots, Revelation 17:5, in the height of her harlotry glory, when she shouts the loudest, "I sit a queen and am no widow," not acknowledging that God has long ago disfellowshipped her, "and shall see no sorrow," then shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God that judgeth her. When she shall think to have supremacy of the nations forever, for she shall reign over the kings of the earth, Revelation chapters 17 and 18, and even help the Antichrist to his throne at the dizzying pinnacle of her power and glory, The ten horns and the beast shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, expose her religious hypocrisy, and shall eat her flesh, completely nationalize the system, and burn her with fire, utterly demolish her religion. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will until the words of God be fulfilled. Revelation 17, verses 16 and 17. There is only one word of mercy heard in the divine anathema of Revelation 18. It is the last appeal to the few believers that may be found within Rome's embrace. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18, verse 4. Thank God for the little prophecy of Nahum. Thank God that long ago he caused some of us to hear and heed that call of wondrous grace. Hence we have the supreme hope of being in the heavenly throne room with our glorious bridegroom when that final urgent mercy summons is made. To him be the glory and the dominion forever. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Sennacherib overthrown. The Assyrian came down like the wolf on the fold. His cohorts were gleaming with purple and gold, and the sheen of their spears was like stars on the sea when the blue wave rolls nightly on deep Galilee. Sennacherib overthrown. The Assyrian came down like the wolf on the fold. His cohorts were gleaming with purple and gold, and the sheen of their spears was like stars on the sea when the blue wave rolls nightly on deep Galilee. Like the leaves of the forest when summer is green, that huge host with banners at sunset were seen. Like the leaves of the forest when autumn hath blown, that host on the morrow lay withered and mown. For the angel of death spread his wings on the blast, and he breathed in the face of the foe as he passed. Then the eyes of the sleepers waxed deadly and chill, and their hearts but once heaved and forever grew still. Then there lay the steed with his nostril ope wide, yet through it there rolled not the breath of his pride, but the foam of his gasping lay white on the turf and as cold as the spray of the rock-beaten surf. And there lay the rider, distorted and pale, with the dew on his brow and the rust on his mail, while the tents were all silent, the banners alone, and the lances unlifted, the trumpet unblown. Ah, the widows of Asher were loud in their wail, and the idols were broke in the temple of Baal, for the might of the Gentile, unsmote by the sword, lay melted like snow in the glance of the Lord.